Today's reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Thanks, Chloe. And hello, my name's Kev. I'm the minister of the church. It's so good to see all of you today. And if you are new with us, well, we're really touched that you've come to check us out as you're new to London. Hope that really quickly you'll feel part of the family among us. Simon, in this first picture, came to speak to us at Euston a couple of years ago about his life story. He'd been a policeman who'd realised there was more money to be made in becoming a thief than in spending your time catching them. Simon was very honest about the lost individual he was at that time, immersed in a life of crime, adultery, left his wife at the moment she needed him the most. And then he had an encounter with Jesus. Simon's snappy way of summing up his story was, "I had a career change when he became a criminal, and then I had a life change, became a Christian." Reach out, build up, send out is how we summarize our vision as a church family. Reach out as into new people, build up us in maturity, and then send us out to serve. It's helpful, I hope, for you to hear this at this time of the year if you're new and checking us out. Helpful for all of us to remember our shared mission as we begin a new church year. We'll think about reach, build, send at those prayer nights during the week. We'll focus on build up when we have our midweek welcome events. So today, a one-off series on reach out before we begin our winter term series in Matthew's Gospel, which begins next week. I say winter term, you can see from the weather, winter is soon to be upon us. Anyway, I love this encounter with Zacchaeus, the patron saint of small people. I've brought us here today because the punchline is maybe the clearest you get from Jesus' lips ever in the Gospels in terms of a mission statement. Verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We want our mission to be on board with his. I hope if you're new to town as a Christian, you want to have the same ambition and agenda for your time in London that the Son of Man has. Well, the Son of Man has a reach out agenda, coming, seeking, saving the lost. Lost people like Zacchaeus first. He was the same kind of lost character as Simon, the dodgy policeman. Verse 2 tells us he was a tax collector. That's enough information to mean he'd have been unfollowed, defriended, cancelled, hashtag sinner. There are probably ruder words people have used to describe what they think of the Inland Revenue, but all the noises in verse 2 are that Zacchaeus was one of the worst. He was a chief tax collector. I don't feel sorry for him and think he was just obeying orders. He had well and truly climbed the greasy pole, and he was rich, because creaming off an extra percentage of ZAT, Zacchaeus added tax, was a nice little fraudulent bonus. His words, verse 8, a defrauder. You know, I tend to imagine Zacchaeus as a lovable rogue. In my head, he's Diego Maradona. But no, if you happen to live in his tax district, struggling to pay the bills, this scumbag would be in the same category as we would put the paedophile or rapist. But lost people like Zacchaeus are exactly who Jesus has come seeking out. Remember why the Son of Man came? Initially, it seems the other way around. It's Zacchaeus is doing the seeking in verse 3, and this is where you get the famous sycamore tree moment. You know, when I was at Bible college, a group of us were forced by a drama teacher to reenact this scene, and I got the part of Zacchaeus, mainly because I was the smallest person in the group. But from stage left here, strolls Jesus. And who's seeking who now? Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. Imagine rewinding the CCTV to just a few minutes before Jesus came by, maybe other locals passing that way. What kind of things were they saying and thinking as they looked up? Probably wouldn't be able to print lots of it. A few stones lobbed in the direction of Zacchaeus' perch, definitely grumbling. Jesus looks up, and Jesus sees an individual desperately in need of salvation. And there's no messing about. It's get down and get the kettle on. We've got things to discuss. Was it an awkward journey home as Zacchaeus remembered those fiddled tax papers that were stuffed under the sofa that the Son of Man will soon be sitting on? The Son of Man. That title Jesus uses for himself in verse 10 is the name that says he's the ruler of the whole universe, all authority over all people for all time. Well, here is the Lord of everything stepping down off his throne in heaven and walking in the front door of grubby little Zacchaeus' house. That's some distance traveled in the name of reaching out. And we know by verse 6, we're not getting out of this before it's mission accomplished, which it is. There's joy. There's calling Jesus Lord, verse 8. There's tangible repentance. And Jesus sums up what's happened here in verse 9 as he says, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. He also, even him, this gangster, seemed a million miles from God. He also, a son of Abraham, that means Bible royalty, all the promises, privileges, the seat at God's family dinner table for all eternity. It's a great story, isn't it? And don't you love watching Jesus on mission? He's so proactive and intentional, so direct and bold, so in amongst the lost. The Lord of all stepping down from his throne in heaven, we might add, via human womb, and then eventually in the front door of grubby little Zacchaeus' house, en route to a Roman cross, we might add, where the mission of Zacchaeus' salvation would be accomplished. This is a section of Luke where Jesus is asked repeatedly about the kingdom of God. They talk to him about it again in verse 11, just after our reading notice. We finished at verse 10. Verse 11, they say, is it going to come immediately? Well, the kingdom will come one day in all of its glory. But in the meantime, verse 10 summarizes the kingdom work that Jesus is about here and now before that day. Verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You know, churches and Christians groups can get into all kinds of good causes that meet needs and seek to change society for the better. I mean, genuinely worthy causes. But we will always fall short of Jesus' mission to the extent that we move away from this as our driving cause, the seeking and the saving of lost souls. That's his big thing. And if words like seek and save and lost just sound a bit too old-fashioned, well, call it a search and rescue mission if you prefer, because that's what it is. One of the things this story reminds me is his mission. Jesus was in the business of reaching the lost long before we were. We're not asking him to get on board with our church's vision for another year. We are trying to stay on track with his. How committed is Jesus to seeking out lost students, workers, marginalised people, families? How much is he bothered? Well, you can tell when you see him in action here. And when you remember the whole reason why he came, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Lost people like Zacchaeus. And secondly, lost people like us. This is you or me up the tree, if you like, perched in Zacchaeus's branch. I think it's right to see him as a model convert in the way his testimony captures so much of what Jesus has just been saying about who and how to become a Christian. So would you mind flicking to the previous page with me? Just 18 verse 9. Sorry to make you do some work on a hot afternoon. 18 verse, maybe the flicking will help. A bit of air in the room. 18 verse 9 was about a tax collector who admitted he was a sinner. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. But he's rich. He's a rich ruler. And then on in chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus engaged with another rich ruler and said it's impossibly hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Needs a miracle. And then, back at the top of our page, so page 878, just before Zacchaeus, the blind beggar who wanted to see Zacchaeus in 19, verse 3, seeking to see who Jesus is. Do you see how in Zacchaeus is wrapped up the scandal of mercy, the miracle of what's humanly impossible, the spiritually blind called out of darkness? His story, your story, if you trust Jesus. Now, I don't expect that many of us are dodgy tax collectors. Some of us might have a financial background that's as murky as Zacchaeus's, or in another way, you've been a cheat, or have things in your relationship history, or browsing history, that make you deeply ashamed. I don't know how the summer has been for you, but imagine those people in verse 7 walking past and seeing you in the sycamore tree. And then imagine we replay to them everything from your last 7 days, every word, action, thought. How much would they have to watch before they started grumbling, sinner? How much would they need to see before they'd be shocked that Jesus would ever want to be a guest in your house? Lost is exactly the way to sum up my natural self. And obviously the precise details of how Jesus found us is different. Great to hear the trainees sharing their stories. But reached out to by a Jesus who came looking for me, turned into a child of Abraham, and changed. And if you're worried that you haven't changed very much yet, well, how much worse would you be without the Lord in your life? Your salvation is an impossible miracle. It's the kingdom power of the Son of Man. And Luke is writing to give us certainty about our salvation. We need that reassurance because we're all insecure. Children of Abraham means right at the heart of the family of God. I was just thinking how rare it is, isn't it, when another family really welcome you in as a member of theirs. I remember when I was at university, I used to go on holidays with a uni friend, and you know, sitting at their family dinner table, I was like being one of the family. Or my wife's family, my in-laws, you know, they've taken a bit longer to warm up to me, to be honest. No, they're great, but you know, you're in the family. They're talking about the family things. You're part of it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Well, if you're a Christian, you have. Because you've got privileged access to God's top table. And yet we have guilt, baggage. Zacchaeus reminds us that there is no human brokenness that is beyond Jesus' power to reach down and forgive. We just sang earlier, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Thank you, Lord. Do you know, if we want to grow in being better at reaching out to others, that begins not with evangelism training techniques or an action plan. It begins with returning to and dwelling on the way we have been reached out to in the gospel. And then as I rejoice in all that I've been saved from and brought into, the prayer is that my wondrous story would bubble out towards other lost souls who need this salvation just as desperately as me. Lost people like them is our final point. And it's clear as Luke goes on through his gospel and into Acts, he wants us to be certain not just in our own salvation, but certain enough to get behind the great cause. So we've taken this as us in the shoes of Zacchaeus, but there's another place we might be standing. That's verse 7. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. The grumps, they're disgusted that Jesus should take hospitality from this lowlife. And in some ways, they're right. Jesus doesn't pretend Zacchaeus was anything other than hopelessly lost, needing to change. But the grumblers need to understand the Son of Man came to hunt out lost people exactly like this rotten tax collector. I think in verse 7, they're not that different from our so-called cancel culture that's so quick to ostracize. And don't get me wrong, it's a good thing when prejudice and injustice are called out. But we're self-righteous when we do that in a way that forgets we all deserve to be cancelled naturally. A Christian response in an ethically awakened generation surely has to be very distinctive. Quick to say that the big problem is lostness, the big need of that offensive person or group is salvation, as it is mine. In other words, will we see people through the eyes of Jesus? We won't be motivated to reach anyone without his worldview. Hence, we need to keep being built up in the gospel ourselves. More on that to follow as we talk about midweek. And then will we throw ourselves behind his mission plan? Jesus' mission statement in 19 verse 10 actually sums up a great missional pattern that develops through the whole of Luke and into Acts, where the initiative is Jesus'. The momentum is outwards, reaching any lost scumbags, Gentiles, Romans, in further away places. The call is always to repent. And the result, repeatedly, joy. You know, we're not trying to ruin anyone's life by inviting them to become a Christian. We're trying to bring them to a place of joy. Joy, rejoicing. They're big words in Luke and Acts as individuals and families and towns have their lives and eternities transformed. It's the story of the last 2,000 years as every category of lost individual in every nation on the planet, even empires have been gripped by an encounter with the Son of Man. He also, no one too crooked or down and out or upwardly mobile. The ones who don't speak English, the creatives, the street population, the ones who seem nice and sorted already, the lonely, the cool. How are we going to reach them? We should be honest about the fact that it's always hard for churches to keep looking outwards out the window. And that's partly rightly the need to focus on building up believers. Reach, build. And not all of our gifts and roles within the body are the same. But the New Testament just doesn't give us permission as a whole church family to choose between reach or build. We need a vision for both if we're going to be on track with Jesus' agenda. Feeling overstretched, we've been asked to think about revitalizing a church up in Chalk Farm as a new opportunity to reach out. Is that too much for us at the moment? We're a few staff members shorter than we were last year. Well, we should look at that. Too early to say, though, I think, what our capacity will be in 3 months or 6 months. We'll take a breath, we'll keep praying, and whether it's that particular opportunity or not, we'll keep looking out the window for other opportunities to reach new people. Of course, our capacity to reach out isn't ultimately about the capacity of the staff team, it's about a mindset of the whole church family. And that's why Freshers Week, we won't be just sitting in here waiting for them to come in. We'll be getting out onto the streets around here, seeking, reaching the nations in what is a global mission field when they all arrive. Take a day off work. Some of you are. Thank you for taking a day off work to come and help us during freshers. That is taking a day off work to be a world missionary for the day. I was just remembering George from Romania, walking past someone from Houston, jumped out a bush, gave him a welcome flyer. I think they ran away. They were so scared. Anyway, George still came to the welcome event and lost George. Became a Christian. In our small groups, our one-to-ones, as we pray for each other, let's pray outwards into the mission field God has put you in. But I'm scared. Too busy, too overwhelmed by life, worn down by knockbacks. That's all honest. Let's be real about it all in this area. Easy to think everyone else in the church must be a stormtrooper evangelist, while your struggle will just be to work up the guts to tell your colleagues you are a Christian. Let's air our anxieties. And let's remind each other why the Son of Man came. And let's prayerfully try to do it together. As we finish, I want to focus on one barrier to reaching out where we can be a bit like the grumblers in this passage. Not that we'd get grumpy if a bad egg became a Christian. Though if you, Simon, I mentioned at the start, if he had defrauded you, you might have a moment of, wow, eternity with him. I don't really mean that. It's more that we can share the grumbler's lack of vision that Jesus is for people exactly like him. So you know the way we look at our friends and colleagues and we kind of typecast certain people, a bit like the grumblers had done with Zacchaeus. Oh, he's too far gone. She's too clever. They're too Muslim, too LGBTQ or I. Here's an exercise I want you to do in your head and think about a real person. Who's the person you know who you'd be most surprised to find had come to this service this afternoon? A real person in your mind? And then ask yourself, what is it about them? They're too what? Well, you can come and ask me at the end about the person I'm thinking of, but you know, the extent to which I think that individual is beyond salvation is the extent to which I haven't yet fully got my head round Jesus' mission. Because today salvation can come to this dysfunctional family, those promiscuous halls of residence, that very secular London workplace, because they also, any of them, can become a child of Abraham. Certainly, a lot of lostness, isn't there, as you look around London? A lot of lostness in broken London. Well, great news for London, because there's a Son of Man. And he came to seek and save the lost. Shall we pray?
Almighty Father, whose Son Jesus Christ is the light of this lost world, may your people shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Amen.